good to see talking to other people. Oh, we've got one. Yes.
Can you count to 100?
Well, that's good. Can you count to eternity? Yeah, and you do ABCs. Well, praise God. You know what? Can you count the hairs on your head?
I don't know how many.
Well, I don't know, but Jesus knows how many there are in your head. Isn't that nice? Amen. He knows, and He knows all about you, and He cares about you. He knows when you're good, and He knows when you're bad, and He knows when you're happy, and He knows when you're sad. Amen. Isn't He a being? Well, that's great. Dad's a really nice man, isn't he? I know him really personally, too. Praise God. Anybody else this morning? I got one. If one not, we'll get on with this morning. Keep praying for each other. Keep praying for others. Keep praying for other places around. Keep praying for the church. And I say not as just one church, but I say the church is as Christ, who proclaim Christ as their Savior, and for the child of God. And there's so many that are astray. So many that are not just walking with them. There's so many just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we got to be doing it. Last week when we were down in Texas, my wife said, you know, she was down and brought the children down to church. And she said, his pastor had a really good message. He said he put a challenge to the people to start doing something or living for Christ. And where was I? Well, I was sitting down doing up this Sunday's message. So I said, I need time to do some things. So, but she was saying that, and it is ever so true. Now is not the time to say, you know, it's party time. Yeah. And I always found that when I went to school. We found it was all fun and games until one day we had to pay the piper. And the piper wanted a lot out of us. And we found out that when we horsed around and we played and we had all this kind of little fun, it just didn't go very well for us. So, good reason why I have this message this morning also. Now, the title of this message is going to be different. No, it's not going to be Mule Riders. We had a nice teaching about that. But place I want you to go into is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And the title of this message is, "Excuse me, sir, is your Jesus the same as my Jesus?" Now, the reason why I said that is, there's a lot of people out there that have certain things which are not right. And I do find that there is another Jesus. Now people say, well, are you crazy? No, sir. I base it on the Bible and I base it on the Word of God. You see, if we can go back in history, at the start of the church age, they had this going happening. And people don't realize. They figure today we get all these religions and all these theologies and all these churches and everybody's preaching whatever and everybody is screaming and they got a sign out that says, we are the way. I'm going to try to convince you the way that I'm going and the way that the Word of God says, to which I see, is right and good. You're going to sit down and say, well, this is my theology and this is my way and I think it's going to be right and good. But one thing I always realize, if I don't base what I know and what I believe on the Word of God, it's no good. And it does not matter who and what you believe, if it's not based on the Word of God, it is of no value to you. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 to 4 says this. The Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." Now notice he never said, "I'm just jealous over you." There's a godly jealousy. God is very selfish about you, very concerned about you. He cares about you. In other words, he loves you and he is jealous over you with a godly. He doesn't want to share you with the devil.
Right.
That's pretty simple. He wants to share you unto himself because he knows if you fellowship with him and you are close to him, you will find things go well. Now, he says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused to you one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, you, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. Now, the thought here is, someone is out preaching another Jesus. Someone is preaching another gospel. Someone is preaching another spirit. The Apostle Paul is right what he had written to the Corinthians. Is that in that someone preaches another Jesus. If you go out there, you will see, and not only one, but I think there's a kind of like a lot of S's with apostrophe. In other words, a lot of Jesuses out there. And it's kind of like this game show they used to have. I think it was Truth and Lies, or To Tell the Truth. Will the real somebody please stand up? Will the real Jesus please stand up is what you pretty much come down to. Because the Jehovah Witnesses cry out and say, we are the way. The Mormons cry out, we are the way. The Catholic Church cries out, we are the way. The Pentecostal yells out, we are the way. The Charismatic yells out, we are the way. Everybody is yelling, this is the way. This is the Jesus whom you should serve. And after a while, you start saying, well, I don't know which one it is, and you pretty much give up. But if someone does preach another Jesus, it is guaranteed it'll be another spirit and another gospel, because it'll not be the same. Seeing if the one is different, then all is different. In other words, if the Jesus is not of the Bible, then that Jesus will be different, so will his spirit be different, and so will his gospel be different. Now, this was a very serious charge that the Apostle Paul, and a very serious statement that he laid out before the Corinthians. If you really realize this, this is not very long after our Lord and Savior went up into heaven. This is not very far after Pentecost. You know, it could have been anywhere from 5 years to 30 years or 20 years. It makes no difference in the years. But it's 2,000 years later. Do you not think, or do you think, that this thing just kind of died off and went away? Today we have a lot of things out there. And we have to sort out what is true and what is right and what is good and what is not. So, is your Jesus the same as my Jesus? Is what I'm going to ask. Do you have the Christ of the Bible or some other Christ? Is your Christ the same as my Christ? Do you have the same spirit or do you have another spirit? What is your gospel? And is your gospel the same as my gospel? In a world that is so full of so many religions and all proclaiming they are the way and have God with them, well, I know if we talk two different things, somebody's got to be wrong. I've always found that out. There's no two wrongs. Two wrongs do not make a right. So we should do well to sort out the real and true from the liars and the false. Now, the Apostle Paul was confronting this situation in his time as we are facing it in our time. I say history always repeats itself. You want 2020 vision ahead? Look at your back. Look at history. And you'll get the same thing. Just as soon as the gospel of Christ came out, there also came out another gospel. Something that might look the same and kind of look like to be right. In Galatians chapter 1, now, why did it come right after the gospel of Jesus Christ that another gospel has come out? Well, what came first, the truth or the lie? And you say, well, sir, the truth had to come first because you can't have a lie before the truth. because there's no truth to have a lie about. So the gospel of Christ came out first, then came the lie. So in Galatians 1 verse 6 and 7 says this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice what he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The grace of Christ is the true gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. The true grace. The perverting of the gospel is the changing and distorting of truth which makes you twisted and perverse in your thinking. How can some people think what they think? How can some people believe what they believe? You often wonder. And you often wonder why. And that type of thinking, which turns the glory of God into something totally different. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is faith in Christ, that the grace of God is extended to all of mankind. That is the true grace of God, that if we come unto him in faith, we will receive. That is the true gospel. That's the gospel to which Paul preached. He says, remember this now, as you got Romans 1. I'll read Galatians 1 verse 6 again. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So if we come out of the grace of Christ into something else, then we are no more in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in another gospel, which is not the gospel of Christ. And it is a gospel according to him who says, this is the way. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now I know there's a lot of people get out there and they preach works. I preach faith, faith in Christ Jesus. My works doesn't help me. My faith is accounted to me for righteousness. It's no matter how good I am to get me to heaven. It's no matter how bad I've been. But it's my faith that gets me in. And sometimes people miss that. And they try to find favor with God by trying to do all kinds of things to please God. But what does it say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? Without faith it is impossible. It doesn't say you couldn't. It says it is impossible to please God. Impossible means, my friend, you as a human cannot do it. It is totally impossible to you, so why would you want to do it? But yet there's people out there who think that they have to work to please God. Now I say works, I mean the works of the flesh. Works of faith are different as we go. For verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is what happened to the Galatians. We brought you into the light, faith in Christ. How did you receive? By the works of the flesh, or the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How were you saved, sir? Did you work to get to Jesus? Or did you believe to get to Jesus? Verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There are more churches that are out there that are foolish churches, who have forgotten what they have been redeemed by and who has redeemed them and everything about it. Casting off their faith and supplementing it with something else. Verse 23 says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So the other, which is not another, is the same one that has been out there that turns you away from the truth to worship another God, is what it's all about. You're worshiping a religion. Is your church theology written in stone? In other words, it becomes your God. To the Pentecostal, to the Baptist, to the Methodist, to the Anglican, and to a Catholic, I don't care who you are and what denomination you have come from or where you're in. If that takes precedent over the Bible and the Word of the living God, and you say that becomes thing, it becomes your God. And it's no more Jesus Christ and His gospel. It's the gospel according to the Pentecostal or anything. I just use that name for just for a reference point. What happens is a lot of them start doing this. So what happens is they worship another God, which is not the God of the Bible. They turn the truth of God into that which is not of God. And when you start changing the character of God into something else, you start to worship something else. And what happens is, you begin to worship Baal. Baal is the multiplicity of gods. You know, people think today that Baal is something that was in the Old Testament. But if you go back and you start looking at some of the things that they did in the Baal worships, you'd be surprised what is going on in the churches of Christ today. And usually when you get into other gospels, it starts embracing all religions. And it encourages acceptance. I accept the truth and nothing but the truth. And the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything else I don't embrace and I don't accept. You'll find that religions have been crossing lines and barriers and accepting one another in their theologies and their doctrines. Well, it's all unity, brother. In the Old Testament, it was kind of like this. It was in the name of God, everything was acceptable. Today, we say in the name of Christ or Christianity, everything's acceptable, long as it's done in His name. Well, there's people that can use His name. It says in Isaiah, where seven women will hang on to the Lord and say, we'll eat our own bread, drink our own water, only let us be called by thy name to be take away our reproach. There's people that call themselves Christian organizations, which are no more of Christ than the tree is. But they go around, it is accepted, it is accepted. Everything is acceptable, everything is okay. We can do whatever. It's a lie. And the truth is considered as evil. You see, when somebody comes along and says, speaking of tongues is of the devil, whose side are you on, sir? And the reason why I say that is a lot of times we can go against the things of God totally ignorant or totally willfully against it. But it's no marvel, seeing that Satan wants to get in and destroy the works of God. Who do you think is behind the other gospel and the other spirit? Not Christ. Christ will not go against Himself. So Satan will appear as an angel of light and his workers as ministers of Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We should really read the epistles in the New Testament. Because you know what? The average Christian thinks it's always to the unsaved. Read your own mail. Read your own mail. Don't go around looking to somebody else. You know what about the only thing I got about the unsaved? Say one thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to a lost eternity, sir. You already are condemned. And you have the sentence of death in you. But to us as a Christian, it tells us a lot of things. We don't want to hear that. You see, because today's gospel is acceptance, not repentance. There's a big difference. We don't want anybody to get offended, so we will not say anything. How do I know this? Well, I sat down and watched a very important man of God who is very well into a lot of Bible prophecies and that, to which a very important TV organization, which is Christian founded, turned around and told the fellow, do not say those things because we don't want anybody else to be offended. We don't want the Islamic religion to be offended. Jay, I didn't know we had to sit back and take the truth and kind of stuff it into a corner. I didn't know we had to be politically correct. If we're going to be politically correct, it's not going to work. I guess when Jesus said things to people, he should never have said it to them that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He shouldn't have said that. All religions should have been accepted. Really? Doesn't work like that, does it? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 to 15 says this, for as such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, Joseph Smith saw an angel and an angel gave him and gave him a gospel. And today you have Christian organizations marrying themselves into Mormonism. You will go to a lost eternity if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't care what church you come from. Therefore, in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing that if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Notice it said according to their works, not the works of God. It's amazing how fast the devil tries to mimic our Lord and our Savior. Remember this fact. Before you can have a lie, there must be truth. The truth comes first and the lie comes after. So I know and I believe in my heart that the Apostle Paul had the truth and those that came with something else other than what Paul declared by the revelation of Jesus Christ was a lie and it was another gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul had. I believe that he got it from Christ and it was in the Word of God and that is what we base what we believe in. Galatians 1 verse 11 says this. Verse 11 and 12. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Oh, what a wonderful thing to know. Verse 12 says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus was standing to Peter and he says, whom say ye the Son of Man is? Some say Elias, some say John the Baptist, or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, whom say ye that I am? And Peter turned around, looked at him and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God has revealed to his church and to us the wonderful things of Christ Jesus, our Savior. It is a revelation. And the Apostle Paul showed it forth. You see, if we go back to the Apostle, what the Apostle Paul preached and what he taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ, we see the true Christ. We see the true Spirit and we see the true Gospel. But 2,000 years later, I think we've messed it up so bad we don't even know what we walk in anymore. And that's why we got so many Christs out there. There is only one. Paul says, I espoused unto you one husband. He said, I didn't give you 40 husbands. Herein we see the real true Christ, not some distorted and twisted, and yes, even perverted Christ. You know, he was the son of the carpenter, and he was a real rebel. And he was controversial, and go on and on. He wasn't no son of any carpenter. Joseph was not his father. And the only rebels I see is the people that are sitting here, and myself included. We were the rebels of God. Mankind was rebelling against God. He was not the rebel. Controversial? No, he had the truth. Everybody else had a controversy with him. But we twisted it. We turned it. We turned it around. Jesus just wasn't any man. He was the Son of God. The Jesus of the Bible is the only begotten Son of God after the flesh. He was born of a virgin because God was his Father. And anybody else that preaches contrary to that and says different of that, what are you preaching, sir? Luke 1. Luke 1, verse 34 and 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, saying, I know not a man? And the angel answered, said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We know him by the name of Jesus. And no man touched that woman. But you know, if we go through some of the Bibles we have today, the virgin birth has been slowly shoveled out the door. You see, we want to think Jesus as being some rebel, some controversial character. So, we start preaching a Jesus that is totally opposite. Jesus Christ was without sin, being the perfect sacrifice for all of mankind to take away our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5 verse 21. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is the only Savior in the world. There is no other Savior. You cannot come to the Father but by Christ. So if we don't have Christ and we're not preaching faith in Christ, we don't get to him. Because people can talk about Christ, but I tell you one thing, if you're not talking about faith in him, you're not going to get there, because you're going to try to offer your works of flesh, and no man will be accepted that way. Come to him and offer him. Offer the fruit of what you've been doing. I've been good all my life, sir. Well, you go to a lost eternity. Cain did that. Remember, Cain and Abel. One had a sacrifice and the other one offered the fruit of his labors, the fruit of his ground, of what he was doing from the earth. John 14, verse 6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other name under heaven wherewith a man can be saved. This is the Christ of the Bible, not the Christ to which everybody wants to say this and say that, but this is the true Christ. This is the true characteristics of him. This is the true Jesus Christ, not some other Jesus. Acts 4 verse 11 and 12 says this, This is the stone which was set at naught for you builders, which has become the head of the corner. In other words, if you don't have Christ as the chief cornerstone, and you have not been built upon those which Christ has, and faith in him, you've got nothing. Your building will fall apart because it does not have its foundation sure. You will suffer. And also, if you think about it, if you are building afterward with a bunch of garbage, you're going to suffer wreck, and you're going to suffer loss. But ye yourself will be saved. Yet so, why? Because you have Christ as your foundation. Thank God for that. Verse 12 says, Neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. He is our faith. He is the author and finisher of it. that we trust in His faith and the faith that He gives us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Well, somebody will say, well, you know, I kind of know all that stuff. I know, sir, you know all that stuff. But what do you do with the other stuff? And the other things of Christ? Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 says this: Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He looks for us to repent of our sins when we as Christians sin. He does not accept our sins. Oh, Jesus doesn't accept me the way I am. Well, I'm not going to come around. Well, then don't come around. Jesus said, this is the way. This is what I expect of you. It's the same thing. He looks for us to repent of our sins when we as Christians sin. It's no more this acceptance thing with which we've all gotten so hooked up into. We do not excuse our sins. 1 John chapter 1. I know some like to preach, well, let's just be so accepting. Maybe we ought to start standing up a little bit more in that word instead of bowing too much around it and trying to accommodate everybody and trying to please everybody. I think we should start trying to please God. I think we ought to start walking in His Word. I think we ought to start doing what the Word says. I think we ought to start pleasing Him and start not worrying about pleasing everybody else. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 10 says this: But if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, notice it says we, didn't say the sinner, the unsaved. Like I said, read your mail. Read your word. Read the word that Christ has given to you. Read what the epistles are written to us. Do not worry. The unsaved know what's coming. Like the fellow said, I better get an asbestos suit. I said, you're going to need a lot more than an asbestos suit to live through this one. But if we, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You, dear Christian, will spend the entire days washing yourself with His word. Washing like you do every day, because you know after a few days you begin to stink. Do you not think that if you do not start washing yourself, spiritually speaking, and washing your sins and start repenting of it, you start to begin to smell in the nostrils of God? No. Yes. A few dead flies in the ointment send up a stink of the apothecary. It's in there. Find it. Repentance and not acceptance, like some like to preach. We are not excused of the Lord for our wrongdoings and our faults and our shortcomings. He makes provision for us to be straightened out in it and have victory over it. Do not think and say, well, you know, He just has to take me the way I am, and just the way I am, just the way I am, just the way I am. No, He don't. He is God. He is Lord. He is Savior. He says, I make provision, I can straighten out. I can make a blind man see. I can make a deaf man hear. I can make the lame to walk. I can raise the dead. Surely your sins and your faults and your problems are nothing to me. Come before me and I will help you. Don't sit down and say, well, I just can't. No. You have a wonderful Savior. Romans 2, But see, we don't want to preach it anymore because we don't want people to get offended. We don't want people to be turned away. We don't want people to feel uncomfortable. Well, there was a reason why they always called the church pews. Because that's the place where it stunk. And when you come before the Lord, it's a good thing to do is, and they always had the lavabo bowl before you went in.
Yeah.
And you scrubbed and you washed yourself up before you came in and presented yourself before the Lord.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that in a spiritual sense, in a reality, we have to see ourselves and we have to see that Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the Bible, does not excuse our wickedness, neither does he excuse the faults of his people, saying, oh, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to. You got to. But you know, it's all right. But that's the way we like it to be. What is good for you is also good for me. What you must do, I must do also. The Levites were to go and wash themselves. The people were to wash themselves. The Levites are a picture of the preachers. Romans 2 verse 15 and 16 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, that thoughts the mean while accusing or excusing one another. We do too much excusing. And we just too much, you know what, we just kind of condone it. We just kind of, oh well, and kind of let it roll off and roll off and roll off. You realize that it was one point, if people did certain things in church, they just chucked them right out. You know, there's some churches they go do the shunning. Now, I don't know too much about the shunning business, but there was a thing is, they had a thought that we had to get ourselves right and get ourselves walking with Christ. But you see, people don't want to hear that. They want to hear la-di-da-di-da, dee-da-dee-dee-dee, Jesus loves me, I can do what I please, say what I want, go and go and go and have my fun. And I don't have to answer to anything. But you want to know something? That's a lie from hell. Because you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and you're going to answer to him for what you've done in your body. And I'd be a fool to tell you otherwise. I'd be a fool to tell you, oh, it's okay. Because not only will you be in trouble, this boy is going to be in trouble. Because I lied to you. Verse 16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, we, the believer in Christ Jesus, will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will give an account unto him what we done, whether good or bad. We cannot get out of this. Well, sir, I don't believe that we can have eternal life and we can live forever. You, sir, don't understand the true grace of God. Christ has made a commitment to you that he has saved you. You are his for all time and eternity. So you better get your act together because you're going to stand before him and answer to him because you are one of his children and you are going to answer. You just can't get by, mom and dad, fellow. You just can't sit down there and sweet talk him and give him the old rub-do and slip the old got him fooled again. I could give some goody good stories to my mom and dad when I was a kid, and they were gullible. I don't know if they were that gullible, but they seemed a bit. Have you ever been fooled? Oh, yes. Have I been fooled? Yes. Have I been lied to? Yes. Have you ever lied? Yes. Have I done anything wrong? Yes. For me to say, oh, no, I'm lying like a dog. 2 Corinthians 5. See, some teach we don't have to change our lifestyle. Some teach that Jesus Christ accepts anything. Jesus Christ wants to change you. If he liked just the way you were, guess what? When you got saved, you would still be the same. If that's the gospel to which you believe, is that the Christ to whom you serve? Is your Jesus the same as my Jesus? Is your Jesus the same as the Jesus of the Bible? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 and 11 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You know, we always talked about, and we always tell our children, you know, if you do good and you do everything we tell you, you're going to get a reward at the end of the week, because I'm going to give you little stars, right? Everybody done that with their children? Have you started that? Have you got children? Every one of us has probably gone one way or another, and we've done the star thing, right? And at the end of the thing, after so long or a month or whatever, you're going to get a really special prize. There was the blue star, the red star, the gold star, and the silver star. I guess the gold star was the best one. And if you did so good all week that you got anything, ever had that done at school when you were going to school, the teacher trying to get you to learn, to listen, to do well, that you get rewarded for good things. Do you not think your Savior cares about you? Would you like to receive? And this is what you're going to have to answer yourself. Because when you're going to get on years, and your life is going to start closing the end of the pages of your book, and your life has been written, and you're going to have to stand before the Lord, what do you think you're going to get for what you did here? I kind of think like this. Now, I'm not a very smart fellow. I think if I do his works, I'm going to get something. If I do my works, it's not going to be good. You see, because my works is the works of the flesh. His works are the works of God, the works of Christ. So if I figure, if I keep doing what he says and not doing what I say, I think I'll do well. But verse 7 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Your own conscience tells you. Now, I've talked to a lot of backsliding people over my life. But you want to know something? Every one of them, in their heart, knows they still belong to Christ. It's the same way I can go all my life, and every time I would see my dad or my mother, I'd have to acknowledge they are my parents. When Christ saved you and redeemed you, you are his. Why do I say that? Well, some teach that you don't have to change your lifestyle. Some teach that you don't have to walk with Christ. Some teach that you can just, well, whatever you do for Jesus is acceptable. Well, I've seen a lot of places Jesus didn't accept things. You know, the Sadducees and Pharisees came to him, and well, you just do this and you do that, and he said, not so. Jesus Christ wants to change you, not keep you the same way you are. Do you think he'd be that cruel and unkind to keep you the way you are? Only an idiot and a fool would say, I like me just the way I am. If you are like that, get your head re-examined, get your heart checked, because either your heart has stopped and your mind is a loss of oxygen, or something's gone wrong with you. Who wants to be the way they are? You can't see improvement? You can't see places that you need help in? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." New, not a new creep. As we go in there, we read that, but we don't see it. A new creature. Old things are passed away. Your old life is being taken away, giving you a new life, a new opportunity, new things. But this is far more greater. Because why? Because he can change any little rotten fault that you got and everything that you've been doing wrong. He can help you. He can make you stand up. All things have become new. He is there to change you with his word, instruct you so that you may be complete and perfect in him. And I don't talk about this perfect thing where everybody went, oh, I'm just so much better and I'm just so perfect and I'm just unchangeable now. You will find that you'll be dealing with sin, and you'll be dealing with things that you can goof up and mess up all your life. And you're going to find out that God has got forgiveness for you. He's a very loving and a very caring Savior. But He does not excuse our faults. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So where do some people come up with these things? Well, for some stupid preachers who come up with stupid theology, who do not want to walk with Christ, who think that they are Christ and they think that they are God, and everything that they think and everything that they do is right and so good, who are so self-righteous that Jesus Christ is not as holy as they are. There's people like that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, chapter 3 verse 15 to 17. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Be ye wise in faith. Have no confidence in your flesh. I see some churches today that they are waving. Oh, they got their carcasses shaking and everything going on. What do you think you're going to get out of that? He who waves garbage will attract garbage. I think he's going to get garbage. And the reason why I say that is because we missed the boat. We really missing the boat here. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Ooh, that's a big load. You're going to find yourself reproved and corrected and straightened out and rebuked of the Lord all your life. Even Moses got a little taste of it when he got a little upset and a little angry with the boys there, and he smote the rock twice, and God says, I told you to smote it once. I didn't tell you to hit it twice. That's a picture of your salvation. Don't get re-saved. Just repent. You see, you're going to do the re, but just a different way about it. You know why people like to say you can throw away your salvation? So they can indulge in sin. That's all it's about. It's a license to go in sin. And some people say, well, you know what, if I'm saved, I can go live my life, whatever. You figure, what you'll have to understand, what you sow is what you're going to reap. If you go and sin, you're going to become a servant to sin, and you're going to get into yourself a lot of trouble. And we are warned. But verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'll take you good works, and I'll say, there's none good but God. And what is God? God is good, so I should do His works, because the works of God are good. So let me go and do those good works, not the works of my flesh. Oh, some people, oh, Jesus. Why don't you take the Bible and wave it and say, I'll believe your word. And maybe He might say, you know what, I don't mind that kind of wave. But no, we put the Bible down and we just, when I see some people, the tears would just stream down their cheeks like rivers of water. Don't you see me, Jesus? I'm crying. Oh, Jesus. I've been fasting for a month. No food has touched my lips, sir. No. I've been locked up in this room. I wonder if a voice would come down. Stay there a little longer. Maybe something will come to you finally, and you'll get a little light shining in you. You know, Jesus talked about those people. The Lord Jesus wants you to carry on His work, not the works of man, which are the works of the flesh. Spiritual gifts are in order. Spiritual gifts should be preached in every church and every place that calls Christ as their Savior, and we should be encouraged, we as the people of God, to walk in the spiritual things of God. Don't go sitting around, what should I be doing for Jesus? All the preacher wants is my money. Well, seeing that you don't want to walk with Christ, maybe you deserve a good fleecing. I don't know. I just say that for the thing to which we don't pay attention. John 14, verse 12 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." You know what some people think? And this is what I got. If your Jesus encourages works that are works of the flesh, like giving all that you've got to the poor and sacrifice your body, so even burning it, then there's something wrong with your Jesus. See, well, I shouldn't go and sacrifice and give to the poor. I never said that. If you figure that's going to get you closer to him, you missed the boat. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3 to 7 says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 to 7. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The true love of God causes you to walk and believe the word of the living God, not reject it, and not going and doing everything else totally contrary." You know why people like to give money and go do this and go do that? Because it's all works of the flesh. They don't want to speak in tongues because it's works of faith. They don't want to prophesy because it's works of faith. They don't want to minister healing or believe for healing because it's works of faith. I don't want to touch that stuff. So there's no healing, there's no speaking in tongues. We'll put it all aside. So, well, gee, Jesus just looks like some corruptible man, don't he? Someone who can't help you, can't do anything for you. Verse 4, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, did not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." A little bit different, that kind of charity, isn't it? Like the fellow said, "Let's go down to Guatemala and we'll build a church." You feel good. I know you feel good. Probably get good exercise, and probably a little sweat, and fellowship with each other, and how we fought adversity, and we built the church. And you lost what? Well, people need place to fellowship. You can see it underneath a tree. Jesus taught in the fields. Don't get so hung up on a building. But we got to. People get hung up on that. They get hung up on praise and worship. They get hung up on music. Oh, I wish my preaching is far more greater than my singing and my music. Because you know what? If you come here for my music and my singing, we're all going to go to hell singing and whatever else, rejoicing. But we're all going to go down the wrong road and we're all going to suffer. If your Jesus encourages you in the flesh, then I would be concerned, seeing we are to be looking to worship and walk in the Spirit. I would be concerned about the Jesus that is encouraging you. Say, well, my preacher is telling me these things. Well, maybe your preacher's got a wrong Jesus. Maybe your preacher went after some other Jesus, like the Galatians and the Corinthians. So was there another Jesus out there? Paul said there was. There was another gospel. And that other gospel presented another Christ. Not the Christ of the Bible, but the Christ of their gospel. This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John 4, verse 23 to 26. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Notice that the true worshippers, those who are true to the Lord, will worship him according to his ways. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, yet for all this they would not hear." They don't want to hear it. Why? Hey, that's a little too much like faith there, brother. Or so-and-so is going to say something, is going to say something wrong. It's perfectly all right for the preacher to stand up and say all kinds of things wrong when he's preaching, but you don't want everyone to hear anybody prophesy something wrong. Oh, no, we don't want to hear this speaking in tongue business. The Bible says forbid not to speak with tongues. Well, I don't know if I believe you or not. Well, verse 24, we'll see. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't care how many times a day I jump up and down and wave my arms, that's not worshiping him in the spirit. I don't care what it is, that's just me. And you running around the room, there's people saying, we do the holy dance. And we do the dancing in the spirit. Well, David danced. Okay, well, show me what David did. Show me David's spiritual dance. I'm waiting. We will do the wrong things before we do the right things. Look at verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know it that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. I have so many people say that to me. Well, you know what? I'm just waiting to hear from Jesus. I say, oh, really? That's the first thing I learned when I got saved. That book has lots to say. Because it's written in the Spirit and the prophecy of Christ. And those things in there tells me that I got to be obeying and doing it. And when I'm not doing it, things don't go right. And I'm disobeying the Word. And when I'm disobeying the Word, I am sinning. When I'm not walking in faith, without anything that is without faith is sin. I'm not obeying Him. I'm not serving Him. I'm serving myself. Have you ever sat down and said, you know what I'm doing, what I'm doing? I'm doing it for me. I'm not doing it for the Lord, and I don't have anything to do what I'm doing for Christ. This is not right. You have to face things. How about speaking in the Spirit, like giving utterance with spiritual gifts? These are the commandments of the Lord. What do we say? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37 to 40. Watch this. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. He says, I would that ye all spake with tongues. I would that ye prophesied. I would that ye would do these things. That's the Apostle Paul. And where did he get that revelation from? Where did he get that from? Well, he sat in the cave one night and he drank some bad wine. And he came out a little bleary-eyed, and he decided to write the Dead Sea Scrolls. No. He got it from the revelation from the Lord, and it's truth. And we're supposed to be doing these things. Verse 38 says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet the prophecy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. There's a way of doing things, and a way of going about things. Christ would have order. He would not have disorder. If you go in there, and you'll find a lot of places how Christ conducted things and how he did things. There was no mass confusion. And neither were they doing the holy dead fish flop. The Bible says to walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Would not Jesus encourage you to walk after his Spirit? Galatians 5. See, the Spirit of Christ would have you to what? To walk in righteousness and holiness and godliness. He would say, change your clothes. He would say, change your life. Get rid of those faults. He'd show you how to get rid of them. If you don't know how to walk with him, he will show you. How do I know that? He did it with me. Everything I wanted to know and everything I wanted to see. And he said, I told the Lord, I need to know truth. I need to understand it. I need to walk in it, Lord. I want to know the truth more important than anything. And he started showing it to me. So I had one of two choices, either walk with it or reject it. You see, if we have controversy, then we do have two different Jesuses here. Galatians 5, verse 13 to 18 says this, for brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but love serve one another. In other words, because you've been called to liberty does not give you the license to go and sin. Verse 14, for the law, all the law is written in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you love one another, you will not do them harm. And if you're harming somebody or doing something wrong to somebody, clean it up. Straighten it out. Repentance is good. Confess your faults one to another. You don't have to go to somebody and tell them all the faults that you've done in your life. Because you might be there for a long time, and I don't think they have a lifetime to spend with you. Unless it's a husband and wife. Then you can share. But the Bible says this, verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not be consumed one another. You know that nature itself tells you everything eats each other? And yet the Bible tells us we are not to be like that with each other. To love one another, not bite and devour. Why? Christ teaches us how to conduct ourselves with each other and to respect one another and to love, care for one another. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the flesh and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. If I condone and tell you that you should go and do your indulgences and have your good time and that you can do whatever, it is not good. It is not the spirit of Christ. If your Jesus says you do not have to walk in spiritual gifts, then he would be going against his word. And he would be contradicting himself. And Jesus Christ does not contradict himself, neither does he go against his word. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. If your gifts are natural, and you are encouraged to walk in your natural gifts, you think that Jesus wants you to be some good song leader? More than speaking in tongues and prophesying? Oh, but I have such a good ability. Well, then sing. Nothing wrong with that. But why leave the other undone? If that's the case, then the Jesus you are telling me about is more concerned about your flesh. Look at the scriptures and see for yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus Christ is concerned about your life, your new life. Say, what about the old me? Nailed it to the cross, buried it, and says, leave it there. So why do you go with a flashlight and a shovel, keep looking for that dead corpse? The old you. Why do you keep going back looking to your old lifestyle? I know you're here somewhere. He buried you pretty good. But we keep going back looking for the old ways. Oh. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 to 17. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So what do? You're not living for yourself anymore. You lived for yourself before salvation. Now you're living for him. But it's a good him. And it's a good thing. Jesus Christ is good. He's not bad. Yeah. Well, Christianity is bland and it's not much fun. Really? Walking around with a ball and chain? And with all the problems that the things of Egypt? You think Egypt was a good place? You think about it. You look at this world and you really look at it. Well, they're all having fun. Oh, yeah. Men and women chasing somebody else's wife and somebody's husband chasing somebody else. Marriages split up. Sitting in the dark room, sticking needles down yourself, taking pills, drunk as a skunk. But then, you're not too bad of a person. But the person next door happens to like your little kids. Huh? Or he happens to like your new car and decides that should get rid of you because you're just wasting time in his car that he likes. So he just shoots you so he can drive the car, not you anymore. We can go on and on and on. I read the newspaper every day, and every day it says a lot of bad things going on out there. Then I got some tyrant halfway across the world that wants to take over, destroy my family and hurt my grandchildren and hurt my relatives and people that I know in this country are very nice people. Then I got to contend with churches that stand up and saying, Jesus Christ is this way. It's not good. Verse 16 says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So what do we know? We know him after the Spirit. And that is the Spirit of Christ, which is a capital S, which is the Holy Spirit, which is God who is a Spirit. We have one husband. We have one Lord, and we have one Savior. We have one God, and that is Jesus Christ, who makes up the whole Godhead. I don't have three persons. I'm sorry. I don't have three gods. I've got one. That way I don't have any confusion to whom I serve. Verse 17, therefore any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are not to know him after the flesh, but after the Spirit of the living God who is in him. And he sits upon the throne of his Father. He will not encourage you to walk in your old ways. Satan will. Satan will. You know? The one who preaches another gospel, the one who is the God of the other gospel, because he had another way. Cain was following it. Cain and him were getting along really well. He told Cain, you do this and you do it, what the hell with me? Jesus Christ will not encourage you to walk in your way. Satan will, because he likes your flesh, because it's a sinful nature. And Satan loves sin. He is the rebel. He's the one who fought against God. He was in rebellion. And you want to know something? Your nature is like his nature. In your mind, you're in enmity with God. Your flesh does not like God. It despises God. So therefore, we tell God, you do what you want, I'll do what I want. So when you come to your Lord and Savior Jesus, you think it's going to be any different? Jesus, it's my way or the highway. But you notice how it's said? He has the highway. You got the low way. Because your way is a low way. So when you tell Jesus it's my way or the highway, you're right. Which road do you want to be on? You want to be riding in the ditch? Or you want to be riding on the highway? Now, I rode in the ditch. It ain't much fun. Because it's very rough and it's very hard and it wrecks you. And it wrecks your vehicle. But when I get on the highway, which is a good road, works really well. Anything that encourages sin and condones sin is not from the Lord Jesus. So anything that turns you away from the Word of God and from the Spirit of Christ, which is the Word, because Christ was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, then it's not good. Godliness and holiness is what we are to be exhorted to walk in. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, we don't have any fear of God anymore. So we make Christ just like one of us. And we look at him and say, well, you don't like it, too bad. It's kind of like when your children and parents become friends. You are parents. Your children are not your friends. They are your children. And your children are to respect you. See, because once you cross that line with your children and you become like buddy buddies, it's not good for them. They have to see that you are in authority. You have to see Christ, your Savior, as being in authority. He is your Savior. Although he is your friend, he is not like you are buddy buddies. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 to 16. He says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and to hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If your doctrines are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then it is not his spirit that's leading you. There is another spirit there. And I've seen that when I've stood there with other people who are saying, the Lord was telling me. And it was not the same Lord. Do you realize that the prophets of Baal used to say, thus saith God? Thus saith the Holy, thus saith the Holy One, thus saith the Lord. You be directed by another spirit. And that spirit wants uncleanness in your life, because you know what? Uncleanness in your life weakens you. That's why Christ always looks to make you what? Better, and perfects holiness in you and godliness, because godliness and holiness brings strength and power in you, because you're not messed up in sin. And you'll not be able to stand against your enemies. What the Lord Jesus says to you, he also says to me. He is not partial. If you have someone who is partial and you see partiality going on, there is something wrong. What is said to you is also for me. What is said to me is also for you. Jesus Christ says, I would you do this. Didn't say, well, only you have to do it and the rest of you don't have to. Okay, Baptists, you don't have to speak in tongues. Pentecostals, you got to. That's how it is. Oh, there's no healing. Oh, you Catholics, you work to get to heaven. You Lutherans, faith. It's better for you. No, it's not there now. You Catholics, work. And I won't accept you anyway, but just saying work. They call Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, if ye call on the Father who respecteth persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. He has no respect. He has respect, but he's without respect of persons. In other words, he is not partial. He's not a hypocrite. You're not dealing with the Savior who is, I just like you and I don't like them. Partiality has not come from the Lord Jesus. So if the Jesus you serve is partial, then that's not the Jesus of the Bible. He gives power to his people, and it is for all his children, not just for the elite few. And I've seen it so many times. The preachers get on there, especially the really big ones, and say, well, I have this power. Oh, good for you. I finally seen one preacher say, it's for all of us. Oh, gee, after 25 years, you finally figured that we should get some too now. That's really nice of you. You're so kind. You know, I'm almost dead, but now I can have some. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, upon every one of us. He does not change his mind, neither he is indecisive in his judgment. What is for one is what is for all. There is no exceptions. He says, I am the Lord, I changeth not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He is the same God in the Old Testament. He's the same God in the New Testament. He didn't change. Oh, I don't like that God of the Old Testament. I know you don't. But I still find them. I find them the same from there to there. He was just as merciful in the Old Testament as he was in the New. Do you know that Noah is a preacher of righteousness? Noah preached righteousness to the people before the flood. Before the flood came, God gives us every opportunity before this destruction that is coming tomorrow I don't mean tomorrow, but I mean somewhere down the road of tomorrow, that if we do not get right with him, we are not going to go to heaven. And then we're going to get destroyed, and we're going to go to a lost eternity. But he has preachers out there preaching for salvation. He is faithful. He will not forsake you. He will not break his promises to you. If you have a Jesus that is breaking his promises and changing his mind and indecisive, I'd be a little bit concerned. I wouldn't be just a little bit concerned. I'd be very concerned, because that Jesus is something wrong with him.
Yeah.
He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even when you are sinning, you're in all kinds of trouble, he is there with you. He doesn't run. He doesn't cut tail and run. I remember watching the Ten Bums. Ten Boom. Okay, thank you. In the Second World War. And there was a lady in there. And she said, God has forsaken us. He would not be in this place. And the lady said to her, yes, he is. He is in us. And we have a Bible. And then she started preaching to them Christ. And they won many people to Christ. God is in your worst place and the most lowest of place, and he is there to help you. He doesn't run. He won't run from you. Even when you do the most heinous crimes and the most wicked things, he is there to help you and redeem you. That means Jesus is the true spirit of grace. We belong to the Lord and cannot lose our salvation. I know a lot of people have difficulty with that, but really, I don't care. I'll see you in heaven anyway. And I'm glad. Because you would be like Esau, and you'd sell your birthright for anything. It's a good thing that Christ has redeemed us and saved us, and he will not throw it away. But as God is true, and our word to you was not yea and nay, but for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. All the promises of God are yes, 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 yes. And you can trust him. He is faithful. He's true. Paul says, for not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith are you stand. I encourage your faith. I encourage you to walk with Christ. I love to see you walk. I love to see you excel in Christ Jesus. I love to see you walk in truth and light. Because why? That is the Christ that would have us to go forward, not backward, nor stand still. It is our faith and not the works of our flesh that keep us saved. If your Jesus takes away your salvation, then his promises are nay and not yea, so you have a nay Jesus. Or you have a no Jesus. Or I don't know Jesus. Then your Jesus and my Jesus are not the same. One of them is false and a liar, and the other is true and is the Lord and our Savior. He is God, and he's manifested in flesh, not just flesh, man and flesh as still flesh. But he was resurrected. Though we have known Christ after flesh, know we henceforth, know we him no more. He was manifested for that purpose. It was done. It is over. Now he stands in the heavenlies. He is our Lord, the one true and the living God. He is the Holy Spirit manifest in the flesh, because these three are one. I listened to some of those preachers there. Well, they're the three persons of God. Or they're the three gods in one. Well, there's one, two, three. There's three persons here. So which one's Jesus Christ? Well, he can't be the Holy Spirit. He can't be God, so he's got to be that one over there. Well, John says these three are one. So I don't really understand it. Well, just believe it. It'll all fall together. Okay, well, I don't know how I can do that. Well, you believe in creation? You believe that God created the earth, heaven and earth, in 6 days, bang, there it was. So what's so hard to believe about that? Jesus said, those that have seen the Father have seen me. For these three are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. God is a spirit. The only way he can manifest himself, he has to take upon himself a form. He has to manifest himself, and seeing he was going to redeem mankind, he took upon him the form of man to redeem mankind. Makes sense. How does he reach to you and me? Well, he reaches to us by his spirit. His life comes out to us. The wind blows where it wants. So is everyone that's born of the spirit. Christ comes along and he convicts you and convicts Joe down in Africa. He talks to you and he talks to me and he talks to Jim down in Uganda. Makes no difference. Isn't that nice? He can do that all at once by his Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Like a couple of verses and that's it. We're almost at the end. Sorry, I kept you a little bit long, but I'm just trying to run through it. If your Jesus is separate and is another person, then he is another God and not a part of the Godhead. Because this Godhead, you can't take it apart. You can't dissect it. But if it got it like that, then that Jesus is not my Jesus, because I don't have three Jesuses. And I don't have one Jesus and there's two other gods running around. I only have one Lord. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. There's only one name that comprises all three, that makes all three, that is the three. That is one. And that is Jesus Christ. Because he and the Father are one. Colossians 2 verse 6 to 8 says this. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9 says, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. If you want to go to verse 12, he says this, Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? My Jesus is in heaven. My Jesus is a powerful Savior, who can set me free from sin and help me no matter what. So, I ask you a question. Excuse me, sir. Is your Jesus the same as my Jesus? Or would I say it like this? So excuse me, sir. Your Jesus is not the same Jesus as my Jesus, so your Jesus must be false and a liar and is of Satan, who was thrown out of heaven. Maybe that's what we ought to be looking at. Amen? Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father.